Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. Time, but they let us look around there anyway. My pilgrimage
to Turkey, it meant the world to me. Where are we?
We are at the Bergerie, sitting outside on the back patio, just enjoying some sunshine and a beautiful breeze. My name's Evelyn Washburn.
In the heart of downtown Fredericksburg.
Just one block off of Main, so a little off of the beaten path. Lovely little spot.
Talk to us about you and your husband and your vision and your empire that you're building.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call it an empire.
Someday.
Definitely a labor of love. But I actually grew up in Fredericksburg, so it's been really interesting to see it grow and evolve and just change over the years. But I had no plans of sticking it around. In my mind, it was like turn 18, graduate high school, go off to college, and then go make it big somewhere. But life just doesn't always work out like that.
How did your culinary world start?
So my culinary journey really started after John and I got married. John grew up in Dallas, so I'm his in into Fredericksburg, I like to joke. My mother and father-in-law actually had moved here in 2004, had bought Hoffman House, which is this great B&B complex. So after John, he went to the University of Glasgow, so he was abroad in Scotland. He decided not to move back to Dallas, where he was from, but decided to move to Fredericksburg because his parents were here. And after being fired from his housekeeping job at Hoffman House, he found himself working as a bartender. And I think it's one of those things that once that hospitality bug bites you, it's got you. Like, you're just in it, you know? And so he met this great chef who's one of our best friends, Adam Yoho, and they opened Otto's together along with another Adam Emer, who was our sommelier. And that is where I think everything kind of kicked off for us as far as like the food and beverage side of things. And my introduction to all of this was they were about to paint the walls of Otto's, basically Celadon green. And I remember walking in and being like, absolutely not. This is not a comforting, soothing color, you know, to be enjoying a meal in. So that happened. And then I volunteered myself to essentially be their marketing hype girl because they were doing these pop-up series before we opened the restaurant and they were sending out these beautiful emails, but Tom, they were tomes. You know, they would go on and these long paragraphs about the food and the wine. And my background is actually in women's luxury apparel and accessories. I was a buyer and merchandiser. And, you know, the first thing that you learn in that field is that everybody, whether it's food, whether it's a bracelet, whether it's an outfit, it's visual. What's the saying? We eat with our eyes. So I was like, okay, guys, first of all, we've got to get some photography in there and we're going to take these paragraphs and I need like four keywords. And yeah, then apparently you do that and you find yourself in a job that is now essentially called a brand director. I think it's really interesting growing up here. I had a family friend, a mentor that told me, Evelyn, like, you don't even know what you're going to be doing. I was 16 at the time. I was set on being like a lawyer or something practical. And he's like, listen, the job that I have now, he was a software engineer. He's like, that didn't even exist when I was a kid. So don't set yourself up for something, you know, just go with your heart, go with what compels you. So I found the food and beverage scene to be really compelling. I love customer service. I love interacting with guests. John does as well. You know, we find ourselves really being storytellers. So with Otto's, we had this great farm-to-table German restaurant that pays homage to the settlers of Fredericksburg, but also just kind of like the Texas food scene in general. And then shortly after Otto's opened, about 2 years later, we opened Tubby's Ice House. So that's just a fun, casual, family-friendly spot. We had just had our third baby when it opened, so we knew we needed somewhere to take our kids to eat. And then from there, it's kind of like a crazy litany of things that we've opened, but they're all things that we are passionate about. La Bergerie is our French wine bar. Again, we were wanting to do something that was a little bit different from Fredericksburg's wine scene and introduce kind of like this more European, Parisian inspired spot. So that's where we're sitting right now. We also have a coffee shop and roaster that's Caliche Coffee. And that came about because our friend Daniel, who started the roasting side of Caliche, was leaving and moving to Orcas Island. And John was petrified about the idea of having to drink grocery store coffee. And I'm sure there's great grocery store coffee, but he really wanted to have, you know, a local roaster. So he basically bought himself a coffee shop for Christmas. I don't know if they put those in the Neiman Marcus gift books that they send out, but maybe they should. So we've done that. Again, you don't get into the coffee shop business because you're going to think you're going to make lots of money. That's a community service project.
Right.
And we've really enjoyed that. And then 2021, we kind of moved into the fine dining scene. We bought Augustie's, which was a restaurant that had been operating for 17 years, literally to the day that we bought it. So that has been a journey and a process, you know, taking the landmark culinary institution and then saying like, hey, we love what you're doing, but we're gonna make it more us. You know, the owners had obviously been operating this business for a while and were doing an incredible job, but we just felt like it was a great time to evolve. And then we are actually in the process of opening another restaurant.
When do you guys sleep? Do you understand that concept?
Yes, we've gotten very regimented with our sleep. I go to bed like at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and then one of us is generally up at 5:30. John plays basketball early in the morning. On the mornings he's not playing basketball, I go in and work out and get that kind of like personal me zen time. And then we're both big fans of naps, so if we can sneak in a nap, it's been a great day.
That's really cool. So the empire continues to grow. You have to have additional visions and dreams, right?
Yeah, definitely. Again, we're always looking to provide experiences that we would want to provide in Fredericksburg. We also see ourselves as stewards of our community. And I think in a place like Fredericksburg, it's really about responsible growth. I think a lot of the buildings that our businesses are in have been renovations, remodels. So, you know, we want to preserve that architectural history and legacy. And then, you know, quite frankly, Tom, we also just really want to be great employers. So
how many people are you responsible for employing?
Like 120.
You know the names of everyone?
I try to. You know, we have great HR software that actually makes that really easy to be able to pull up somebody's picture and their name. And we really try to be present at every single one of our businesses. You know, we provide healthcare benefits for our full-time employees, as well as like dental and vision, workout plans. You know, we are huge advocates of mental health care. And yeah, we also just try to be good employers because we know what it's like to be young, trying to make ends meet, trying to raise a family somewhere, and you really can't do that without the support of your employer or, you know, the people that work for you as well. And we really see them as family. You know, they're not people that work for us, they're people that we work with. And that's a great honor and responsibility.
Long ago, I lived in San Antonio. Yeah. Back in the day, employers touted that Texas was a right to work state, which was kind of a code for,
we'll fire you whenever we want.
Yeah. So things have evolved and changed as far as that human side of being an employer in Texas?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think that the evolution that we're seeing in the workplace, it's something that's much needed. You know, I think of, for example, like when I had my kids and wasn't that long ago, you know, you would hear of somebody getting maternity leave. And so we offer maternity leave, but as of a year ago, we also offer paternity leave.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I think, like you're saying, it's really important to cultivate great employees that have that longevity and that rapport with you. And I think I've seen somewhere that like hiring a new employee after you fired someone can cost a company upwards of like $30,000 to replace. Wow. Just in that time that you've invested in them, training them, you know, all of like any benefits, and then rehiring someone, you know, doing all of that, it can get expensive. And Fredericksburg being a small town, it is, you know, a limited labor market. So we have to attract people that are going to want to live here and believe in what we do.
Probably one of the toughest dynamic is because Fredericksburg is so viral in mm-hmm. the real estate end mm-hmm. of things that finding people that can afford to live mm-hmm. here must be a challenge.
Oh, most definitely. It's something that we take really seriously. And both John and myself, as well as my sister-in-law, Sarah, who's our business partner in Side Street Hospitality and our hospitality group, have actively been working through the various local boards and organizations that we're members of to really help be part of the solution, not just be part of the problem.
Is there a rental shortage?
Most definitely. You know, a lot, we've had a great influx in VRBO and short-term rentals. So houses that might have traditionally been part of that sort of rental landscape, like long-term rental landscape, are now short-term rentals. So things have, you know, some people do feel like they've been priced out of the market. You know, I think that we have a very nuanced view to it because, you know, people that are coming and visiting Fredericksburg are inevitably at some point going to stay in a short-term rental. They stay in a short-term rental. They come to our businesses. They are part of our
community.
They're part of our, you know, financial and economic structure. They're the reason we're able to, you know, pay bills and pay these employees. But yeah, being able to house your employees is getting to be more and more difficult. So yeah, we're out there with local leaders trying to figure out, like, how can we do this together? And there are various ideas floating out there. I don't think that there's like one perfect plan necessarily, because like I said, it is like a nuanced thing. And I think that part of it too, like you were saying, the Fredericksburg real estate market is just hot. Everybody wants to be here. So you do have to just get creative.
That's so cool.
I think if you're planning on coming to Fredericksburg and not sure when, I think it's a great time to come. Fredericksburg is definitely midweek year round. You're able to really experience the true charm and beauty of Fredericksburg, and you're really able to do so many more things, I think, than if you were to come on the weekend. Like, you know, we're sitting back here, it's a Thursday afternoon at La Bergerie, and it's calm, it's quiet. You know, you can enjoy a glass of wine, you can go across the street, check out the National Museum of the Pacific War, and there aren't tons of people. You know, you can make those appointments to visit some wineries or breweries, distilleries, and best of yet, you know, you can get into some fun dinner spots, like I was saying, like Otto's, Augusti's, or, you know, one of our neighbors, Sage, is a great spot for dinner, vaudeville. So many amazing places in Fredericksburg that on the weekends it can get just a little bit crowded. And yeah, even places like Enchanted Rock, if you're an outdoor enthusiast, you have to have reservations for that too. So being able to get in here midweek, you're able to get those reservations and really have a fantastic time.
That's really cool. Okay, to learn more about your world,
I would go to sidestreethospitality.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Side Street Hospitality, all three words, all spelled out. And you'll be able to find more information on all of our concepts as well as upcoming events and happenings. Thanks for hanging out with me. My name's Evelyn Washburn, and we'll see you soon.
Evelyn, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
This has been wonderful. Remember we met in the middle of the
pandemic? Yeah. Yes, at Otto's, yes. And we were like, okay, we're going to do this. It was so fun. So it's so fun to see you again. And it's so great that everyone's able to travel and do so safely. Yeah.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Fredericksburg, Texas. We'll see you here.
We drove all the way to Turkey, Texas, to see Bob Wills' Museum of Western Swing.
The underbed music used in the show was performed by renowned hill country musician John Arthur Martinez, who's based in the historic town of Marble Falls. To discover more about John Arthur Martinez, log on to johnarthurmartinez.net.
We pulled up a little after closing time, but they let us look around there anyway.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
I swear I heard the voice of Tommy Duncan, belting out Blue Yodel number one. My pilgrimage to Turkey, it meant the world to me. If you play Bob Wills music, then you'll know what I mean. Call me a disciple, Bob Wills is still the king. On a pilgrimage to Turkey, for the love of Western swing. We drove all the way to Turkey, Texas, all for the love of Western swing. All for the love of Western swing.